Blessings to Israel presents Discerning the Times, a program committed to encouraging you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's program.
Welcome to Discerning the Times. My name is Brian Thomas. So great to be with you as always. And this week we are continuing with our look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation to see what it is that our Lord had to say to those churches at that time and what those same letters are speaking to us today. Being joined by co-host Dr. Bruce Logan, who I will bring in shortly. But before I do, I want to remind you that your eternal state is far more important than your current state. If you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I urge you to do so today. Otherwise, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire separated from our Lord. So will you please receive the gift that Jesus gave us at Calvary when he shed his blood for sins? Give your heart to Jesus Christ on today. All right. So we're going to bring in now co-host Dr. Bruce Logan. And Doc, as we always say, we are always excited about looking at Revelation. And as we get into the second church, we have to remind people that not only was the Lord speaking to the church then, he's also speaking to us now when we look at this letter at Smyrna.
Absolutely. And that's very important that you mentioned that, because when you look around at the church culture in our particular day and time now, you see a lot of similarities, you know, a lot of corresponding lessons that the seven churches had in relation to the modern church. We're going to see today in the subsequent messages in this lesson, in this series, rather, we're going to see a lot of things that if you're really discerning, you'll be able to pay attention to that should be concerning to every true Bible-believing, church-going Christian. So this is a very important topic, a topic that's not addressed nearly enough from most of our pulpits, and I'm excited to get into it.
Absolutely. And we like to refer to this church that we're looking at Smyrna as the persecuted church. So that is the second church in which our Lord had John write to in the book of Revelation. I want to share, to get us started, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So I want you to keep those verses in mind as we are going through looking at this church at Smyrna. It reminds me also of an underground church in China that I heard about, and it actually prays for persecution to come to their congregation. And Doc, we don't hear that today. People are not praying, at least not in our nation, for persecution to come. But there's an underground church in China that actually prays that they would receive persecution. And I'm reminded of in the book of Acts, chapter 13, where the disciples were filled with joy by the Holy Spirit as a result of persecution. So I want our audience to keep all of that in mind as we again are looking at this church at Smyrna. So turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter number 2, and we're going to look today at verses 8 through 11. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, and beginning with verse 8. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." So, all right, Dr. Logan, let's go back up to verse number 8 and let's speak about this church here at this city at Smyrna.
Well, first of all, as you pointed out, Smyrna was known as the persecuted or the suffering church. And this message, and as a matter of fact, the quote that you started the show off with from Matthew was perfect, because it described the church of Smyrna to the T. And one of the things that's interesting about the church of Smyrna, and hopefully our listeners have been following along with us, because when we did the introductory lesson in this series, we pointed out the fact that of the seven churches, there were only two churches among the seven that there was no negative condemnation or negative concern that Jesus had when he had the letters written to these churches. I mean, they were like, there was nothing bad that the Lord had to say about two of the churches. The first one was Smyrna. And of course, when we get to Philadelphia, that would have been the second one. And it's also important to keep in mind that the listeners really, really bear in mind that there was something special about these seven letters that sometimes goes maybe not recognized, or to the extent that it should be, and that these were seven letters that were written specifically. They were given specifically by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to specifically the angel of these seven churches. And what we talked about in the introduction of this series, that the angel of these churches were the pastors or the overseers or the bishop of these particular church congregations. And it was his responsibility to read and encourage and instruct his congregation of what the Lord specifically and directly was sharing with that church specifically. And as you also mentioned, that there's application for these messages that transcend down throughout the church age up into including today. And one of the things that we're going to notice as we begin to unpack this letter to the Church of Smyrna is that you're going to notice a stark contrast between the message that Jesus himself gave to the Smyrnan church versus the common theme or message that we hear in today's church, because what we commonly hear in today's church is in stark contrast to what this letter of Smyrna spoke about. And you really hit it at the beginning when you quoted from Matthew, because the church of Smyrna was a suffering church. And I made a note here of, and if the listeners would just browse back over to verse 9 and 10, it pointed out five struggles that the church of Smyrna was going to have to endure. The number one was tribulation, poverty, suffering, being thrown in prison, and of course, going through tribulation. Now, think about that. If that message today wouldn't go over very well in the average church, because today we want to hear about how we want to be prosperous, how this is your season, how we can live the abundant life, how we can live the best life now. But the church of Smyrna had to endure things that was in stark contrast to that. And I just think that the true message of the gospel is really, I mean, if you unpack this letter to the church of Smyrna, you can really see the true message of the gospel. It's all about suffering and giving ourselves over and having no fear for the things that will happen to us in this life, because the life that is to come, as you often say, is going to be more valuable, more important than the life that we have now. And you're going to see this as we go through the Church of Smyrna. You're going to see this theme. And I know I'm probably going a little long-winded on this particular point, but this has just happened to be something that's just a pet peeve of mine, that this is the message of the gospel that's popularized in today's church culture is in stark contrast to the true gospel message that came from our Lord itself. And so that's a little long-winded version of this, but I needed to get that out.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely in stark contrast to what we see today, because again, that church there at Smyrna, they embraced the persecution. And as I was stating, the underground church in China is doing the same thing today. And the reason that the church at Smyrna was so greatly persecuted, because it was in a wealthy city, but one that had little time for Christians. And the city of Smyrna was founded about 3 centuries before Christ by Alexander the Great. And it was known as a commercial center in Asia Minor. And we know today Asia Minor is present day Turkey. And it was on a route from India and Persia to Rome. I also want to point out in verse 8 where the text says, first and the last who was dead and came to life. And we know that to be our Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to his death and resurrection. And so I want to encourage the listening audience out there. If you have coworkers today and you have family that have little tolerance for Christians, keep in mind the words that Christ said. He said that there's going to be great reward for you in heaven for eternity if you will keep your faith and trust in him. He says, rejoice, because great will be that reward, because we serve a Lord who died, but he conquered death in the resurrection. So I want to encourage people out there. If you're being shunned, and I can't imagine how bad it must feel to be basically disowned by your entire family. But there are many people out there who are suffering that way for the sake of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And Doc, we want to encourage those people, though, to not give up, do not lose hope, because the Bible declares that there is going to be a great reward for suffering for the sake of Christ.
Amen. And that message of suffering for the sake of Christ is accentuated here. If you unpack this letter here to the Church of Smyrna, because if you study and go back and view the history of this particular area, and especially the Church of Smyrna, you're going to see that this was actually fulfilled specifically, you know, within the subsequent years of the church, or these believers in the Church of Smyrna. One of the more famous incidents, of course, was a bishop of Smyrna who was actually trained and discipled by the Apostle John himself. His name was Polycarp, and some of the listeners may be familiar with that name. Polycarp was in his 90s when he was burned at the stake because of his faith, because of his belief in the Christian gospel. He was burned at the stake by the Romans, and the story goes that Polycarp, of course, had this letter to that John wrote from Patmos, probably in the back of his mind. And so there was an arrest warrant sent out by the emperor, and they came to Polycarp's home. Now, mind you, he was in his 90s, and they came to his home to arrest him. And he graciously asked the soldiers, could I go and pray? And they heard him in there praying. And while he was, and then he came back out and offered them, could he prepare them, the soldiers, something, you know, some food to eat? And, you know, so the soldiers came under conviction, and they didn't, you know, really want to have to take him in to be executed. But they, you know, if they didn't do their job, then of course it was going to fall on them. So they knew that. So they took Polycarp, and they asked him, all we want you to do is recant your belief in Jesus, and we will let you go free. And he famously said that he that have not turned his back on me all of these years, why would I now turn my back on him? He was tied to the stake and burned at the stake. And actually, the story goes that the flames miraculously went around him and actually was not touching him. And so a soldier actually stabbed him to cause him to die. And then the flames consumed him. But anyway, the point being that he was a bishop of Smyrna, and the church and the believers in Smyrna, you know, suffered a lot of similar types of persecution. And so this admonition and warning that Jesus gave came to pass in that particular region. And a lot of it had to do with the believers in unwillingness to bow down to the Christian faith. Bow down to the emperor worship and the pagan worship and give up and recant their Christian belief is the entire reason why they suffered such great persecution at that particular time. And that, it reminds me also of the three Hebrew boys in the lion's den. I'm sorry, I'm the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And the three Hebrew boys was faced with a similar opportunity to bow down to worship the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, we shall not do it. And our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down and worship your image. And that type of internal intestinal fortitude and stance is what's going to be called for in the day and time that we're living in. Because in America, we're comfortable. We're not really concerned about this level of physical persecution. But as we're going to see that even if there's other parts of the country, I'm sorry, parts of the world where they are, which you mentioned China, they're enduring actual literal physical persecution. In America, we've become comfortable in our lifestyles because we're not dealing with the physical aspect of persecution. But the consequences in terms of our eternal state, as you mentioned often on this program, is going to be impacted by our unwillingness to take stands for the attacks that we are seeing in our culture on as regards to our Christian beliefs and the word of God.
Yeah, because as you said, tribulation is already great in the world. As a matter of fact, Christianity is the most persecuted faith in the world. Again, like you said, we are comfortable here in the United States. We don't really have to face it as we see in a lot of areas, but it is coming. I do believe it is coming here. It's increasing more and more. And as you touched on earlier in verse 9, where our Lord was speaking to the very thing, he says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And so when we look at this church at Smyrna, this was probably the greatest time of persecution to the church, because Satan recognized that the church was having a huge impact on the world. And the thing about it, though, is the more this church was persecuted, the more it overcame. And Christ had no words of condemnation for this church, because unlike the church at Ephesus, it had not left its first love. And so Satan realized that persecution was not going to destroy the church of Christ. And when we look here at this city at Smyrna, it was a city where there was a great economic hub with a lot of commercial activity. But those that took a stand for Christ, and this is the very thing you were just touching on, Doc, those that took a stand for Christ often lost their jobs or the businesses were boycotted. And this led to a lot of those who were rich going bankrupt. And so this church at Smyrna had very little assets. But the church at that time was characterized by material poverty, but spiritual power, which is in great contrast to what we see today. Many churches of our age are the opposite, where there's material wealth, but spiritual weakness. And it reminds me of something that I heard about a couple who was moving to the state of Texas, and they were looking for a church home there. And so they went to visit this church, and the guide for the church was giving them a tour. And when he was given this tour, he pointed to a particular section and he actually said, this is the millionaire section. And so the husband stopped him. He said, this is the what? And he said, this is the millionaire section. This is the section where all the people who give into the millions, this is where they sit. And they have their own personal entrance and exit from the church, and they get special priority. But that is not the way we are to operate in the body of Christ. And, you know, anyone that knows Christ is rich in the things that money cannot buy. And that's what we need to have our mind and focus on. But, you know, Doc, again, as you talk about, today is all about prosperity preachers. That's what people want to hear. That's what they flock to. But it's in great contrast to what we see at this church.
Yeah, that's so, so true. And another thing I would like to point out is that and you kind of alluded to it, that it mentioned in verse 9 that he says, I know your works, your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And you touched on that. But he says, I know them, the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. That's very important because they are the synagogue of Satan. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I wanted to point out, because this is actually, interestingly, was one of the causes of a lot of the persecution that the Jews the Christian converts of Judaism had to deal with in the first century. Just to make a long story short, one of the things that struck me as interesting was that it was mostly as a result of, see, a lot of times we assume that the persecution was directly by the hands of the Romans, but in reality, it was actually the Jews who were instigators of much of the persecution that the first century Christians had to endure. And so if you were a Jew in the first century, an Orthodox Jew who gave up Judaism and accepted Jesus Christ, you were no longer qualified to partake in synagogue ceremonies and worship. You were pretty much cast out. Now, it was interesting. I found out that the Romans would allow the Jews to be exempt from a lot of their Roman religious cult worship. But if you were cast out of the Judaism, out of the synagogue, then you were no longer under that covering. And so now you became a target of the Romans because they looked at the first century Christians as dissidents because they flat out refused to take part in emperor worship and a lot of the other pagan practices that were common back in those days, worshiping idols and so on and so forth. And there was the Jews that was actually instigated. It was kind of similar to the fact, if you recall, when Timothy was stoned, the first martyr was stoned to death in the book of Acts, that he was stoned to death by the Jews because he was preaching Christ to the Jews and they stoned him to death. And so that was a major component of why many of the Jews in the first century had to endure this type of persecution. Now, of course, that escalated later, especially under this particular time under the Emperor Domitian, who went out of his way to target Christians. And of course, that this persecution accelerated and accentuated down through the first century. But it really took heart and took root during this time. And it was a lot of it was instigated or spewed on by the actual Jews who, and this text says, who say they are Jews, but are not. And that kind of reminds me of a lot of people in today's time who say they are Christians, say they are believers, you know, say they are church members and followers of Jesus Christ, but yet they endorse practices and ideology and worldview that's clearly outside of the confines of the gospel. So I just think there's an interesting parallel there that and a lot of times, because we live in America, because, you know, we can go to a grocery store, right, and just see just items just everywhere, and we take things just in this culture that we live in, we take so many things for granted. But there are implications behind our level of comfort that's going to come back and we're going to have to answer for. Because also we're going to find out as we continue to unpack these letters to the seven churches, that at the end of each of these letters, there's an admonition about the future of future rewards or future condemnation if we don't repent. And I think that should be highlighted for those who get into this study of the seven churches.
And before I move on to verse 10, I want to piggyback on what you just talked about in speaking of how Christ said, you know, those who say they are Jews and are not. I want to give the definition, what the New Testament says concerning the definition of a Jew. In Romans chapter 2, verse 28 through 29, it states, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." So it's about the heart. It's not about legalism. And any church that preaches a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ is a false church. And one of the two heresies that we often see is the false doctrine of Christ. And then we see the mixing of law and grace. And practically all cults adhere to one of these things. So those are red flags for us to look for. But those are great points you made, Doc, that today, yes, there are a lot of people who profess to be Christians. There are a lot of churches who say they are a Christian church. But when we put what they believe in and what they stand for up against the Bible, we see that, no, these are not true Christians. This is not the real church. When we see the church supporting things like abortion, going along with a Marxist movement like Black Lives Matter, that's not the true church. And so that's the very thing that, as you said, Jesus Amen. Was speaking of concerning this church here at Smyrna, in which he's telling them, you know, he knows the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, but are not. Well, we're going to pause there for this week as we are out of time, but we will be back next week with the second half of our look at the persecuted church, the church at Smyrna. But before we close, I just want to encourage you that as believers in Christ, we must be prepared for persecution. As the Bible tells us that to follow Christ, the world is going to hate us. And we've had the luxury here in our nation that we haven't faced a lot, but persecution is coming. So we must be prepared and we must not fall away as we look to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you for joining us. Please come back next week as we continue to discern the times by viewing life through the lens of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel. And to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Discerning the Times. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.
Discerning the Times is presented by Blessings to Israel.